Welcome into this special edition of On Texas Football. My name is Jerry Hamilton, joined by CJ Vogel. Oh, we never know. Bobby Burton may join us at some point. Obviously, we're coming to you live today. James Simon, four-star running back from Shreveport Calvary Baptist. He is set to announce his decision here in about 15, 20 minutes, give or take a few minutes. You know how these announcements go. Sometimes they're on time. Sometimes they run about 10 minutes later than normal. So James Simon, Shreveport Calvary Baptist, scheduled to announce his decision here coming up soon. So what James Simon, the running back from Calvary Baptist, CJ, in Shreveport, we both had time. We spent time with him. You had him on this show, did a sit down interview with him. What were kind of your takeaways from James Simon? Before that, it's Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Alabama, LSU on the peripheral. I think the recruiting industry would be surprised if it's not Texas, but that's why these kids have announcements. So, CJ, kind of, you know, your thoughts from meeting him, talking with him, and I know we're going to get that huddle planned soon on James Simon.
Yeah, he's a smart kid, Jerry. You know, we've both spoken to him a little bit outside of DKR. He was here most recently for the spring game. I got to sit down a little bit afterward and chat with him on a little one-on-one where you got to kind of break down a little bit about the person he is off the field, what he enjoys doing. And the kid loves football. Obviously, his dad, a big-time football player, around the game of football growing up, no doubt about it. Of course, we're watching the huddle here, Jerry. He's a heck of a running back. He likes running in between the tackles. Great vision, great jump cut, great feet ability. You see it there. But one thing I really took away from that conversation with James Simon is he's a running back by trade. That is his position, right? But he looks to impact the game in a number of other ways that might not just be running between the tackles or, necessarily – you know, just toting the rock. You know, he's looking at it as how can I impact the game, whether it be from a pass blocking perspective, how can I help my teammates in terms of knowing the plays, lining up correctly, being a good leader. He spoke to me about wanting to be a big time guy out of the backfield as well, because he knows in Deshard Choice and Steve Sarkisian offense, that's very important. And so that was really encouraging to hear that, yes, of course, he is a running back. He likes going through the tackles. That's where he'll be most utilized at the next level. But he sees himself, kind of contributing in other facets of the game, which is certainly encouraging, knowing how versatile most of these Texas running backs have been in the past.
Yeah, so I think the thing with James Simon, his strength as a running back, you're seeing it there. He's a between-the-tackles guy, good contact balance. He sees the cutback, which is always the key for me for these between-the-tackle runners that aren't going to win on sheer speed. They have to have tremendous vision and feel, and that backside peripheral vision so key. And he's got that. He's got, like you said, he's a jump cut, skip cut guy, but he has a great feel for playing high to low, as he should. For those not familiar, John Simon, his father, was a tremendous running back at Louisiana Tech, played about 3-4 seasons in the NFL. He's been a college coach for over a decade now, was once the athletic director at Dallas Roosevelt, and he started out as a position coach there, ended up being the AD head coach for a year and a half there at Roosevelt. So he's familiar with football in the state of Texas and Louisiana, speaking about John Simon. And obviously he has a great respect and has known Deshard Choice for a while as well, with those guys both playing in the NFL and coming up through the college coaching ranks. James Simon, 1,600 yards rushing last year for Calvary Baptist. They were 14-0, won the state championship. In 3A, they beat Isidore Newman in the semis, and then they went on and beat a St. Charles Catholic team who's very good year in, year out in the state championship game. He had big games against Westgate out of New Iberia, where Derek Williams, Jabari Antoine, obviously those guys came out of there. They played Captain Shreve, who has a ton of speed in the Shreveport area. So they played a good schedule, Parkview as well out of Shreveport. So they played a good schedule. He's doing it against really good competition. The one thing about James is I put up a game-by-game stat look at him on ontexasfootball.com you can go to. So you can go take a look at that. They didn't give him a lot of carries for some of the regular season. Then when it came playoff time, his carries went up by about two or three times. I mean, there were some games and blowout games. He had two carries, five carries, whatever. He had a 300-yard 23 carry, 300-yard playoff game. And he was had some big games, especially 191 yards, I believe, in the state championship game. So Jackson Kimball's what time we're expecting a decision here in the next 10, 15 minutes, right in that area code. But James Simon also, as CJ said, put up some stats receiving. Let's also talk about this. If James Simmons were to pick Texas, and again, Texas, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, the top three, Alabama, LSU on that peripheral. LSU took two running backs before the spring game ended in their class. But if James Simon goes the way of Texas, CJ, that's a second running back in the class, and they're different backs. They would be different backs. Ricky Stewart, obviously, the first running back commitment in this class. And it would fall in line with what Steve Sarkisian says. They don't really want to take two running backs with the same skill set in the same class.
Yeah, I was actually talking to a Big 12 defensive player the other day, and who got to play Texas when they had Bijan and Roshan together. And, you know, it was his big point to me was you just never knew what their strengths were going to be when they were both on the field, what they were capable of doing, because you had Bijan, who when you hit him, it didn't feel like you ever hit him squarely. And then when you hit Roshan, it just felt like he ran through you. So they complement each other very well. And I think Texas, with the way that they've gone about Christian Clark, Jarrett Gibson, now Ricky Stewart, and potentially James Simon, it's looking like they're adding to that mix and match where they complement each other out of that running back room very well. Of course, again, with James Simon, I think what you get is a guy between the tackles that can carry about 220, 225 pounds and really start bulldozing folks once the game gets going. You know, it's no secret, Jerry, that, you know, the Calvary Baptist coaching staff saw him in the playoffs and said, yeah, teams are going to be worn down by game 12, 13, 14 on route to a state championship title. We're going to use James as that guy that just bullies people. And that worked off, right? The other thing I wanted to mention here is Texas has recruited tremendously when it comes to guys that have competed at the state championship level, have won state championship level games. Another one here, obviously, KJ Lacy in this class, already a state champion. We look back a few years ago, obviously, all those Westlake kids, DeSoto, Duncanville, a lot of where Texas is getting these kids, and Jackson Christian already in the class as well, another state champion. That plays into when Texas goes into Alabama or they go up to Michigan. Those nerves may not be as significant as they would have been had you not been on a stage similar to that. Obviously, playing in front of 100,000 people is not the same as, you know, a state championship. But at that same point, that is the biggest game that they have played to in their life up to that point. So it does carry over a little bit in my eyes. And again, playing at a good program, you understand what it takes to sacrifice and to do what it takes to win on the field. That's exactly what kind of character James Simon is, as well as a talented football player as well.
Yeah, and so again, resetting this, we're live, CJ Vogel, myself here at On Texas Football for the 12:30, 12:35 announcement of James Simon, the four-star running back out of Shreveport, Calvary Baptist. That announcement's coming here. Again, Texas the favorite over Texas A&M and Notre Dame, but that's why these guys announced their decisions, obviously. Another reason this is an interesting recruitment for Texas is Texas – when Steve Sarkisian built this staff, when he first came to Texas from Alabama, he had really good South Louisiana connections on this staff and Louisiana as a whole, Pelican State connections. You had Terry Joseph, obviously, from the Marrero area, big in getting Wardell Mack last year. You had Bo Davis, obviously, who's recruited that area for years, played at LSU from Mississippi, has recruited from Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama for years. Then you had Brandon Harris on the staff in a recruiting support role, obviously from that Shreveport area, played at LSU. You had a couple other, with Cortez Hankton's brother at the time was on that staff as well. Louisiana guy, a lot of ties. So Texas had a staff. That first staff, was Steve Sarkisian brought in, was built to recruit in Louisiana with that move to the SEC coming. And what you've seen is Texas having a lot of success in Louisiana. I mean, especially looked at Jamon Tapp, who since transferred to Arizona State. But that was a good win at the time. Four-star edge player. Just look, you recruit talented players. Some of those guys are going to leave. And I think Jamon Tapp will have a big year at Arizona State, by the way. Yep. But you got Arch Manning, which you throw him out. That's a different recruitment. Will round a lot of Isaiah Newman. But Derek Williams was the big, big one for me out of New Iberia Westgate High. I mean, one of the top three safeties in the country that could have gone to Alabama, could have gone to LSU, could have gone to Miami. So Texas has had success in that I-10 area. And that's the toughest area to have success. And moving forward with Corey Raymond back in the fold at LSU, Jamari Antoine immediately commits to LSU. That area is going to be a little tougher with Frank Wilson and Corey Raymond working Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, New Orleans. Then obviously you had Wardell Mack in the last class as well. But north on I-20 is an area where traditionally schools have more success. And James Simon is a I-20 guy at Shreveport. There's also Aiden Anding, the corner out of Ruston, up on I-20. Now, there's some pocket areas there, obviously. LSU is always going to be the number one school, right? I mean, West Monroe, Neville, all those schools. But guys are more likely to leave, the higher-ranked guys, more likely to leave from I-20 versus I-10. And I know it was Nick Saban at Alabama, but Cam Robinson, some of the guys he got off of I-20 were huge recruits. And Louisiana produces such that I-20 guys also can be under-recruited a little bit at times, and then they go off to a TCU or an Arkansas or somewhere like that in Missouri, and that being really good players. If James Simon picks Texas, CJ, be three straight years with two running back classes. And while we wait on this announcement, look, let's talk about the June 1st Elite Camp. Racine Guillory will be there, a 2026 running back committed to Texas. Obviously, there's going to be some other backs there in 26 and 27. If James Simon goes Texas way here in a matter of minutes, Deshaun Choice is done in 25. He's focused on 26 and then some tremendous running backs in 27 that'll be the Elite Camp June 1st.
Yeah, I mean, I think Racine Guillory already having his name in the 26 class for Texas is big. He's a very talented running back. He's one of those guys where you look at and you see Jaden Blue, right? You know, when you talk about molds and kind of the skill sets that these guys have complemented each other on so far in the Texas running back room, Racine Guillory, I mean, he's a true speed guy. He's a one cut and go. He's a home run waiting to happen. Similarly to what we've seen over the past year and a half or so with Jaden Blue and his development.
Yeah.
And then you look at the other names that are scheduled to come in, Tre'Darrion Ball out of Texas High, KJ Edwards out of East Texas. And Isaiah Young's an interesting one to me. He's out of the San Marcos area, has started to really see his recruitment grow over the last 2 months or so. Maybe kind of is still a developmental piece right now that Texas is evaluating. But that 27 class, Jerry.
Well, yeah. No, Jacoby Dixon, kid out of Brenham, is a stud Texas offered. I mean, he is really, really good. He's the next national recruit out of Brenham High. The interesting thing with the San Marcos kid, and they've got four Power 5 guys in that 26 class. They all had to play JV football because of UIL ruling. So those guys, they have a linebacker that maybe he can go about just about anywhere when his junior tape gets out on Huddle this year. But those kids – the colleges like them a lot, right? They've been through the CM. They're just kind of waiting to see them put it on the board on varsity tape this year. But that San Marcos group of young kids is really good. We won't get into the, I think, BS ruling that they got from the UIL because so much goes on. But those kids like Isaiah Young, the linebacker's a stud. The receiver's really good. The quarterback's probably a Power 5 guy. They've got four guys that can really go. And now you're just waiting on that varsity huddle tape and these camp performances that can really accelerate these guys' recruitments headed into the season. So Lonnie Adams says, hook them, guys. So thanks, everybody. I mean, we're 1,300 people plus joining in. So thank you very much for that. Again, I'll reset this. We have more people joining in by the second here. We're here for the 12:30 announcement in that area code of James Simon, the four-star running back out of Shreveport Calvary Baptist. After that commitment takes place, Texas expected over A&M, Notre Dame, LSU, Alabama on the peripheral. We'll see. Kids have to announce their decisions, right? All I say is our whole industry would be wrong if it wasn't Texas. It's happened before. We'll see what happens. But after that, we're going to take all your questions. We're going to have some fun. We're going to watch some videos of some 26 guys. So how about some 25 receivers? We're going to watch some videos, take all your questions. We're going to turn this into about an hour recruiting breakdown here after James Simon lets everybody know what he's going to do. So again, Jerry Hamilton, CJ Vogel here, CJ. And, you know, again, as we wait on this announcement, I think June 1st is such a big day for Steve Sarkisian because the quarterback's coming to elite camp. Okay. I spoke with Dia Bell last night. He gets in late Friday night. He's actually still in school. Troy Hoon leaves Friday morning. They get in Friday afternoon. Those are the two guys that have offers from Texas. Dia Bell, American Heritage. There's a great interview with him on Texas Football I did when I was at American Heritage 2.5 weeks ago. Then Troy Hoon, obviously we've both seen him out of San Marcos Mission Hills there in Southern California. But then a couple of three other guys coming in the throw for Sarkisian, right? We think 26, Troy and Dia are where one California, one Florida. We think those are where this quarterback will come from in the 26 class. But Jaden O'Neal's coming in from Narbonne. Then there's two or three other guys from Texas who A.J. Bill we went to see in May coming in as well.
Yeah, the one kid from Texas that I think might be able to cause some noise in this one is Jake Fett out of El Paso. He's Del Valle High School in El Paso. I was able to see him at the Elite 11 at Austin Westlake High School a couple weeks ago, and I thought he had the liveliest arm. Maybe not the most accurate guy. Maybe that's still yet to come truly in his development. But this was a guy who was at the camp or at the Elite 11 with Keelan Russell, with KJ Lacy, a guy who was competing with a couple guys that were in the older age group than what he is at the moment. And I thought that ball just left his hand a little differently. And right now I talked to him after the camp and I said, hey, like, what's going on in your recruitment right now? He goes, I'm hoping Coach Milby stops by in the spring. It sounds like he did. He will be down here for the June 1st Elite Camp. But it was TCU and it was Texas Tech, the two schools that were really on him early in that recruitment. He said he loves the Texas Tech staff. It's far and away the closest to El Paso up the panhandle up there. But TCU also making things interesting. So those are the two schools looking out early for Jake Fett. We'll see if Texas makes a move with him, if he kind of gets into the fold a little bit as well, because it does sound like, Jerry, with those two quarterbacks from Florida and now California, Texas will be going out of state with either Troy Hoon or Dia Bell.
Yeah, and look, so just so people know there, as we get ready for this James Simon announcement, A.J. Milwee was at American Heritage May 20th to watch Dia Bell throw in person, take the video, send it off to Sark one last time. On the 22nd, he was at Mission Hills High to watch Troy Hoon do the same thing. Then he went up to Narbonne to see Jaden O'Neal, who has about 20 offers, a talented 26 quarterback up in California as well. So A.J. Milwee took one final look at those guys in person in their high school setting, took the video, sent it off to Sark, and now those guys will come together here and perform in front of Steve Sarkisian and A.J. Milwee. And I think, look, I think it's as much as it is the talent and what they see on field. And look, these guys have offers, so you know they can make all the throws. You know that Sark and A.J. Milwee have done their homework, right? They know they're both fits at the University of Texas. What it's going to come down to is watching them interact with the other guys, right? Watching them interact with maybe some Texas quarterbacks. All those pieces outside of the huddle tape, what they saw in the in-person evaluation, and talking to the high school coaches. I think that's what's going to be big. Both those guys were on campus with Troy Hoon. He's coming with his mom this weekend. Dia Bell is coming with his father, Rajah Bell, former NBA player who was here in March for that visit, as well as with his family and younger siblings. So everybody's coming in there Friday. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Again, to set this, I'm starring some of these questions like Adam DeLeon, the most underrated linebacker in the 26 class. We're gonna get into some of that stuff. Fred Bowie, I see another top five class for Texas. I think 2025, we're headed that direction. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. We will see here on that recruiting class, and we're gonna get into a lot of that here coming up after James Simon announces his decision. So,
Jerry, it sounds like that On Three broadcast just began for James Simon, so we should not have to be waiting a whole lot longer. They're kind of building it up. It looks like at the moment, of course, kind of leading into what James will do here. Again, I think Texas is in a good spot coming in here. You see the hats on the table: A&M, Notre Dame, LSU, Alabama, and of course Texas.
Yeah, we see those hats on the table. We'll see what he announces here. Look, I think we'd all be surprised if it's not Texas, but that's why these guys announce. And look, I think the one thing about James Simon too, from seeing him in person, he's 5'11", 195-ish right now. He's going to carry 215-ish pounds. His lower body's ahead of his upper body development, which is the case for a lot of these running backs and young kids, right? There aren't many guys built like Jarrett Gibson at that age, by the way. So James Simon will add strength, weight to that frame, especially in his upper body. I think his dad's done a great job bringing in his development at the right speed. Obviously, his father played running back at Louisiana Tech and in the NFL and coached at the college level for more than a decade as we wait on James Simon's announcement here. Great kid, by the way, CJ. James Simon would be a culture fit at Texas. He's a winner. You talked about that. They won a state title last year. He's also a guy that he's just as happy catching the ball out of the backfield and scoring touchdowns as he is taking a handoff and scoring touchdowns. Now, he's really good between the tackles. He really understands when to drop his pads, that playing high to low, and sink those hips and create optimal power. He should be. His father's a coach, right? James Simon, just a really talented all-around running back. He may not have the home run, strike up the band speed. He's a quicker than fast guy, but there's plenty of guys who are successful like that at the running back position.
Yeah, definitely. And again, you have to compliment what's in the room already in Texas, already having a couple of guys that can get the ball and go. James Simon is a guy that you can rely on late in games to kind of wear teams down, kind of run out clocks. We saw Texas run out a 7-minute-plus clock against Alabama on the road and how important that was. Of course, it looks like that offensive line will always be a strength with the way that Kyle Flood is recruiting at the moment, the way that they're developing, and the way that the depth has been able to build up over the last few years. So that's the key right there. Of course, finding those difference makers with the ball in their hand, with Ricky Stewart already in the class, it just makes sense to me that this is a good complementary piece should he again pick the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we have some talk here about Jarrett Gibson's a popular subject here on our chat right now. We'll get into some of those running back class. AJJ Sports, if somehow he picks James Simons picks somebody other than Texas, what's the backup plan? Well, we're getting ready for that announcement right now. I think everybody would be surprised by that. So
here we go, Jared.
We're about to get the announcement to see where James Simon is headed. And no, I do not think he's just committed to Texas. It's done.
Committed to Texas.
As expected, James Simon commits to the University of Texas. So there's your answer. Two running back class once again. And let's talk about, again, James Simon as a player. 1,600 yards rushing as a junior. He played seven games as a freshman on varsity, 12 as a sophomore, then 14 with that run to the state championship as a junior. Commits to the University of Texas over Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Alabama, LSU on the peripheral. But it was really those three teams. Took a visit up to Notre Dame, I believe in January. It may have been in early March. But he was up at Notre Dame. He was on campus at A&M. He was on campus at Texas. But look, this is one, CJ, where Tashard Choice, I think, was a huge difference maker. The relationship with the father, both those guys being former college NFL running backs, and John Simon, while running back is the most as instinctive as any position in football, there's still a developmental piece to it and maximizing a player. I think that was big. Tashard Choice, John Simon's relationship.
Yeah, that's kind of been the recurring theme with any recruitment that you've seen with Tashard Choice involved, right? And now Texas is using Coach Choice in roles that go beyond just the running back position. Of course, when Texas was still looking for their coach at the defensive line and before they settled on Kenny Baker, it was Coach Choice that was hitting the Florida trails. You know, he was out there meeting with not only KJ Lacy, but also Brandon Brown. He made the trip up to go see Michael Fasusi as well. He's a guy that just has a magnetizing personality, and it certainly pays off. He's basically, as you mentioned earlier, gone 6 for 7 with his top prospects over the last three cycles. And that's a very tough thing to do. Of course, it helps whenever you have a guy like Bijan and Roshan kind of being an ambassador for the position. But at the same time, you have to recruit against really talented schools that put together, big time running backs in the NFL. Alabama, you know, Oklahoma's had a good run, LSU in this case as well. This is a very successful run for Tashard Choice. And it, again, with 26 and 27s coming in for the June 1st elite camp, it doesn't look like it's going to slow down anytime soon because of what he's been able to do in terms of development, putting these guys into the league. And of course, as we mentioned just a bit ago, that relationship that he's able to do by sitting across from someone and just saying, hey, you can come in, trust me, I will get you to where you want to go. I'm really excited because, hey, you know, I thought Stan Drayton did a great job at this, and now it looks like Tashard Choice is picking up and not even, you know, having any second thoughts about where things are and where his recruiting is going at that position.
All right, a little comment here. How many highs left do we have left after we got the Coleman brothers and Simon going public? I'll give you, there's one or two out there. There's still one or two out there. There was four or five before those three guys went public. So, yeah, that's kind of where things are at. Living rent free said, yes, he said he gave a stat. Yes, that is 100% true. Look, I mean, the reality of that is he only had one official visit scheduled. That was Jerry, Texas, June 21st through 23rd. He had not scheduled another official visit since we talked to him at the spring game in April 20th.
Yeah, I was saying that spring game, he was down there. Obviously, we both talked to him, and he shared a little bit about what he liked about that offense, what he liked about Texas. But right after that, about 4 days after that spring game, it was Tashard Choice making the trip out to Shreveport to see him again. Yeah. And that talks about that relationship. It talks about the person that Coach Choice is and how highly they viewed James Simon. Because, hey, you just saw him. You just hosted him on campus. Go see other guys. Go see a 26, 27. Get a head start there. Coach Joyce said, no, I got to go make sure my guy's locked in. We got to go celebrate a little bit and make sure that this is the piece that we have in the class. Of course, it pays off here with the commitment to Texas. But also, it shows a little bit about that dedication that Tashard Choice has when it comes to getting his guys in the class.
Yeah, I mean, so again, James Simon, he's a downhill, between the tackles runner. He's a guy that he's going to excel in the pass game as well. Natural pass catcher, not going to be a long run guy. You know, he's not explosive fast. He's a quicker than fast guy that's going to maximize yards in between the tackles, does a good job creating power on contact. He's going to be a run maximizer out to 20, 25 yards at the college level. He's not going to have a big chunk yardage type of guy in the run game in the SEC. I'm talking about in that level competition. Really good all-around player, though. Good complement, good fit in the system. And look, as we talk about all the time, and especially moving into the SEC now, that ability to run the ball, that inside zone, that run the ball in between the tackles is really big in Steve Sarkisian's offense because it helps open up all that vertical, horizontal passing game and really makes the motion go, all the pre-snap stuff go. That threat to be able to run the ball downhill in between the tackles is big, and that's what James Simon is. Ricky Stewart is more the speed slasher of this class. James Stewart is a guy that has the jump cuts, the skip cuts. He has strong legs and hips. He'll run through arm tackles. But again, between the tackles is his strength. Not going to be a guy that strikes up the band from long distance at the next level.
Jerry, what do you think about this comment here from Living Rent Free in UT? Is Simon, do you see that run style very similar to Jonathan Brooks?
Yeah, you know, there is some controlled running, if that makes sense, there's some patience and
control. That run there kind of looked like a Jay Brooks run. Get outside, get upfield.
Some patience and control there is what I would say. He presses the hole, but he's still patient. I think the thing he does almost best is he understands how to play. Well, he has the jump cut and the skip cut and the hole to get to the second level. But what he understands is playing high to low so well. The guys that can really play high to low create that optimal power on contact. And if you watch, when he starts to drop those pads, he sinks those hips, and he explodes up through a defender. Those guys are run maximizers, and they're going to fall forward. So that's going to be his strength, I think, as a runner at the next level as he creeps up to 220 pounds, which I think will be his ceiling.
Yeah, funny enough, one of my high school coaches moved down to the Central Texas area, coaches at the 3A level, was able to play Jonathan Brooks twice when he was at Hallettsville. And so I went out to go see him one summer. Quick little story here. Told me Jonathan Brooks, this was before he took his first snap at Texas and was kind of, you know, kind of receiving that hype behind Roshan and Bijan and, of course, who else was in that room at the moment. But he told me Jonathan Brooks in high school reminded me of Jonathan Gray out of Aledo, a Gatorade National Player of the Year, and Ronald Jones, who was at McKinney, ended up at USC, played for the Bucks a little bit as well. He said he's a mixture of the two of them, and that kind of hit home for me because I played against Ronald Jones in high school, and he only went for about 350 each year that we played him. So it makes a lot of sense now. I do see a little similarities. You mentioned kind of that patience as well, but when he sees a hole, he goes. And I think that there's good balance there. My thing with Jonathan Brooks that I've seen consistently with Roshan, with Bijan, and some of the running backs in this room already is they're taught so well, Jerry, to fall forward, to get those extra 2 to 3 yards after that, after they're hit initially. You know, I talked about it yesterday a little bit. Jonathan Brooks, he could get hit, you know, very, very early on in his run, maybe a yard or two down the field, but because he's not, you know, running straight up, he's kind of got that forward lean. That 1 to 2 yard run turns into 4 or 5 because of his ability to fall forward. And I think you'll see that a little bit more with the progression and development in James Simons' game because of that way that his lower body is constructed at the moment. Of course, with his frame, you do expect him to carry about 220 pounds or so. That's a bowling ball at 5'10", 5'11", that you can roll forward with a little bit.
Yeah, so again, we'll reset the show here. This is On Texas Football special, kind of. We're going to turn in the recruiting breakdown. All your questions we'll take. We're about to start playing some videos. We're going to look at the Corey and Moore. We're going to look at Jamie French. We're going to look at Kalik Lockett. We're going to have some fun with this. We may look at Kelshawn Johnson. Then I want us all to take a look at John Turntine. So bring those questions as well. We have 2,400 people online, growing quickly. CJ and I are here to answer all your questions. Justin Yarborough, thanks for the super chat. This is funny. I actually got a text from Jackson Blackwell 5 minutes before we went on air. I haven't had a chance to respond to that yet. If Jackson Blackwell's offered in Texas takes 4DLs, would he be that developmental guy in the class, 3 class you spoke about? After watching this tape, I'm a fan. After seeing him in person, I'm a fan. Here's what just happened with Jackson Blackwell. I put out earlier in the week that he, or maybe late last week, I don't know, time's running, it's all running together right now, that he was scheduled to be at the Texas Big Man Camp June 8th. He texted me right before we came on live here and said he's not going to be at that Texas camp. He got an offer from Kansas State yesterday, and they want him to come officially visit that 7th through 9th weekend. So, look, Texas, that if Jackson Blackwell ends up being a guy for them, it's probably going to have to be a senior eval. Kenny Baker went to Lorena High, watched him work out, and Jackson Blackwell's impressive now. He can play over the ball, very impressive athlete. Squatted 700 pounds in the state powerlifting meet. A kid that works really, really hard and understands how important explosiveness is. He's 6'2", probably about 305 right now. But he will not be at that camp now because Kansas State jumped in with an offer and he scheduled the official visit, as he should do. If you go where you're offered, get your official visits in. If something happens later with an A&M or Texas, then you cross that bridge when you come to it. But he's got Texas Tech. He's got Baylor. He's got Kansas State visits. He's been to TCU already. So he's been to Arizona. Dwayne Aquino was by the school. Arizona loves him. So go to where you have the offers. Go make those official visits.
Jerry, I got to tip my cap to you because you kind of called that, right? You said once these coaches will get a closer look on him, they'll get him out to campus. You'll see those bigger offers come. Maybe we expected that to come a little bit in June with camps coming up, but to your point, Kansas State pulled the trigger, get them out there and maybe get a head start on what could be a late blooming recruitment that we've seen over the past couple of years.
And then on D-line, it's interesting, and this may lead us into another talk before we get to all the five-star receivers and Kelshawn Johnson, the 4 stud receivers that we want to talk about. But here's the thing. I talked to Chase Sims from Richmond Randall yesterday. He doesn't have a Texas visit set up in June. So Texas, Kenny Baker, again, they went by. Texas took a look at him in May. Didn't schedule an official. He's got A&M. He's got Texas Tech. He's already been to SMU. He has one other one. So maybe Texas feels pretty good about some of the D linemen they're in on. I mean, I think that's the key. And I've said all along, and I'm going to remain the same on this. You got to keep Brandon Brown committed, obviously. Then you have Josiah Sharma. You have Myron Charles. You have Kevin Wynn. And you have Zion Williams. Texas needs to win 2 of those 4, keep Brandon Brown committed. And that's 3 really good defensive linemen in a class. No matter how that thing shakes out, if they can get that done. Then if you take a 4th guy as a developmental guy, Texas could still bring in Derry Norris from Spruce Creek, who I'm very high on. He would be my developmental guy. Kenny Baker was out to see him. Then you have DJ Sanders, who's scheduled to come in for an official visit in late June. He's definitely a developmental guy, I think needs some time. So it'll be interesting to see. But those top 5, 6 guys, they got to find a way to get 3 of those guys in this class. If they do, then they're playing with house money with their developmental guy or fourth, or maybe you wait till senior year and see if somebody else, like the Texas went around and looked at some other guys. It's not really out publicly yet that are committed to some other schools. So maybe senior film reveals something that they want to move on. Jackson Blackwell, some of those guys could be that. Is Derry visiting? As of 3 days ago, he had not scheduled an official a visit, but I'll check in with him again Thursday, Friday to see if Texas has scheduled him for an official visit.
Jerry, John, who on that defensive line real quick?
Yeah.
Who on that defensive line would you consider to be the crown jewel of the class, whether it be Brandon Brown already in the fold or someone Texas is fighting to get an official with or already scheduled and maybe still has to fight to earn a commitment?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think Brandon Brown is the jewel, and that doesn't mean he's absolutely going to be the best player. These guys have to stay healthy and go maximize their talent, right? But look, I mean, that means he committed when Bo Davis was here. Bo leaves for LSU. He's remained committed. USC tried to flip him. People around them stopped that from happening. He would be the one, because now if Texas were to lose out on him after June visits, he's at LSU this weekend. He's at Tennessee. He comes to Texas the 14th through 16th. And I think there's a chance A&M replaces USC as the last official visit. If he went through the process and then backed out, he's going to LSU or A&M. So that's not the one you want to lose. Brandon Brown, aside from the talent, is the jewel of the class. I'll say this, Kevin Wynn, tremendous prospect, I think, over the ball. Zion Williams, very good over the ball prospect. I think Wynn has more three tech, kind of that match between it can play three tech and can play over the ball. I think Zion's pretty much an over the ball guy, an A-gap player, maybe plays in the B some, as Texas doesn't play over the A-gap a lot. But then I love Josiah Sharma, CJ. I love Josiah Sharma out of Folsom. And you want to know when a lineman is really, really talented. If you just follow the stuff and you haven't seen a guy in person, and I'm talking for the fans out there, Kalen DeBoer had Josiah Sharma committed at Washington. Kalen DeBoer pretty much knows what he's talking about, right? 104-12, wins everywhere he goes. He goes to Alabama. Josiah Sharma, they've got him on campus three times. He's probably one of the top two at the top of their board in the entire country. You know how many D linemen there are from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina? They're all over the place. And the fact that DeBoer and that staff think this guy is still the guy, that tells you how good Josiah Sharma is. That tells you what his upside's like. Josiah Sharma is a big-time player as well. Here's Josiah Sharma. Now, this is at Endercrum in Sacramento his junior year. And look at that quickness at 6'4", 305, guys. That's a little different now. And he's now at Folsom, the power school up north in California. How do you end up at Folsom? You dominate Folsom. That's how it ends up. There you go right there. But this guy is 6'4", 315 now. So quick, so naturally strong, powerful, 80-inch wingspan, 10-inch hands. He's got all those measurables. But even look at him here. This is what young defensive linemen a lot of times they don't kind of fully understand until they get to the next level. Shoulder pads, when their shoulder pads are above their butt, they tend to their first move is a little more straight up. We talk about playing high. Wait until guys like this. This is like the number one part of development. Wait until they start to get their ass above their shoulders consistently, and you see the type of get off and quickness and initial movement power skills these guys have. And he's one of those guys who is quick, athletic, and as he is and impressive as he is, he technique-wise, he's still got work to do. Folsom will help him this year, but wait until he puts it all together now. This guy's got, dare I say, little Sean Rogers capability in him. I mean, he's going to be a big frame guy. He's going to be 6'4", 330, 6'4 and a half, 330, and he's going to be a penetrator, a guy that gets in the backfield and is a disruptive player. So if you want a stupid comp from me, Sean Rogers. Sean Rogers wasn't that big coming out of high school, but Sean Rogers was a similar athlete at over 300 pounds. And then Sean got up to about 335 and then 350. So we'll see what Sharma looks like at 315 this year as a senior. But that's a similar frame, maybe some similar upside I see there. He's a stud now, and that's Alabama, that's Texas, and it's maybe Oregon for him.
Interesting. Well, those back 2 weekends of the month of June, the June 14th and June 21st weekend, will both be big for the defensive line recruiting. Of course, that's when you see all of them coming in for official visits. That first weekend, just to recap it a little bit, Brandon Brown, Kevin Wynn, Myron Charles. And then that week right after, you have Zion Williams, DJ Sanders, and of course, Josiah Sharma actually coming in that first week as well, June 7th through 9th. So we'll have all of that here updated. Of course, the month of June, only a few sleeps away. We'll get that going. Of course, the elite camp June 1st, you know, kind of takes, you know, front edge there. But moving forward, Jerry, I want to get into some of those big who official visits. Who's amongst the group that you're looking at right now that if Texas really knocks out an official visit, they could be making quite a jump in that recruitment compared to where they currently sit at the moment?
Yeah, so I look at the receiver position. Now, I think that's a little different from what you said. I think linebacker is that, and it's the California kids, right? It's Matea committed to USC. It's Madden Faramo from San Juan Capistrano. You know, look, Elijah Barnes, stud linebacker, top 100 guy in the country at Skyline. I think he's underrated even nationally, okay? Then you have Riley Pettijohn, top 75 type guy, top 50 kid in the country. We think he's a Texas lean for McKinney, right? If Texas closed out Pettijohn and got one of those two Cali guys, that linebacker class is absolutely hellacious. I mean, that linebacker class you can put up against any linebacker class Texas has signed. Now, they had the five-man class a couple of years ago, but I'm talking if Texas gets three of those four guys, the high end at that linebacker class is ridiculous. So I really look at that linebacker position because it's Johnny Nansen's first class. We talk about D-line so much, Kenny Baker's first class, but this is Johnny Nansen's first class at Texas. He's going to recruit a little different linebacker than what Texas had previous to Nansen, combined with the move to the SEC. A little bit longer levered guys, but you know the video on both the Cali kids, maybe we get to that in a little bit later in the show. They're studs, stud, stud, stud. Elijah Barnes, stud. Riley Pettijohn, stud. I mean, the linebackers visiting Texas are really, really high-end guys. So Johnny Nansen's putting in the work. Jonathan Cunningham from North Crowley would be another guy in the mix. He's visiting June 14th as well, which we have as a four-star on Texas football. His upside will take him there. But wide receivers. I know everybody wants to ask about wide receivers, man. Let's talk about it. Let's start with DeCorian Moore, Matthew. I don't know who we have. Whoever you have on Huddle, bring it up, and we'll – our producer Matthew's the best in the business. So whoever he's bringing up, there he is. All right, DeCorian Moore. If you haven't seen this guy, this DeCorian Moore fella is from a town called Duncanville, Texas. They got a few good guys.
Anybody good out of Duncanville before, Jerry?
35, 40 Division I players. Ekim, I might take it up to 40 soon. But here's DeCorian Moore, and I wish Rod Babers was on here because Rod Babers would say, that's Joey Galloway. That's the acceleration he has. But look, decommitted from LSU. It's going to be Texas, Ohio State, or Oregon for him. I know LSU's still being talked about. How many times are guys going to commit back? I just don't see it. I think Texas is in a pretty good spot here. Elite acceleration. We were on this show talking last year, and I just kept saying, CJ, he's the best receiver in the state, regardless of classification. I don't care. Micah Hudson, good player. Bryant Wesco, good player. Doesn't matter. This guy was the guy in the state of Texas. And he's still the guy in the state of Texas at wide receiver. And I don't even think it was close last year. I don't think it's close this year. I think the guy's different. He moves different when you see him in person. He's a physical guy, 5'11", 175. His acceleration is off the charts. He qualified for state in 4 track meets. The only reason he didn't qualify in 5 is because region 2 in the 100, 10-4-5 doesn't get you out of region. Although, what would that have placed in state? 5th. So it doesn't get you out of the region, but it's top 5 in 6A, or definitely top 6. So he's an elite guy. Look, he'll leave his feet and make plays too. He's not just a catch-and-run receiver. He's a catch-and-run receiver and a run-and-catch receiver. So he fills out. He checks all the boxes. If you haven't seen the interview I did with him at Duncanville High, about a 12-minute interview last week, go watch it. It's not so much about who he's considering. It's about him. He talks about himself as a player, what makes him tick, kind of some of his goals in football, kind of growing up in sports, all those things. So you get to know DeCorian Moore a little bit, CJ. But look, as Burn Orange Horn says, DeCorian Moore and Ryan Williams are a class of their own. What are your thoughts on DeCorian Moore before we move on to Jamie French?
Yeah, I think, I mean, he's as talented a wide receiver I've seen since I've started doing that. That only goes about 5 or 6 years, right? But we've seen some pretty talented kids, Evan Stewart, Garrett Wilson, obviously Jonte Cook, Micah Hudson. They're all kind of in that category for me. DeCorian, I think, has as high a ceiling as anybody. And that's even with Garrett Wilson going, what, pick 12 or 19 or whatever it was to the Jets in the first round of that draft. I do think there is a very high upside here. And the thing that we've talked about is Sarkisian loves the speed on the outside. I don't know what Xavier Worthy would have ran. I don't know what he did run in the 100. I know it was very fast, but that's
10.55 his sophomore year in Fresno. He lost, or maybe it was his junior. He lost it last year to COVID in track.
Already seeing a 10.3 by the name of DeCorian Moore gives me all the reason to believe that he has as high a ceiling as anybody that we've seen come through the doors at Texas, should he again end up in Austin. But that was the difference maker for me when I evaluated all these guys, is tremendous body control. We've seen that with a couple guys. But that speed and that acceleration that you've mentioned earlier, Jerry, it just stands out. And I have a hard time looking at some of this tape as – you know, someone who loves the game of football and not understanding how you don't always have a safety over the top of them, right? I mean, I understand Duncanville is a number of really talented guys. We just talked about potentially 40 guys on that roster could go D1, but no one's going to hurt you the way that DeCorian Moore could hurt you. That was an underneath crossing route that he just took 60 yards untouched. That shouldn't be the case, but that speaks to the burst that he has and kind of the talent that he possesses. Again, That great ball tracking there. You don't see that all too often at the high school level. That's something that you develop later on as you catch more and more and more passes. But just understanding where the ball is coming in, when to accelerate, when to go get the football, it comes second nature to him. And it's, I mean, there's a reason why he got 5 stars by his name.
The other thing with him is look at who he's playing. This is Cedar Hill, DeSoto, Waxahachie. I mean, it's the District of Doom, right? Dallas Skyline. I mean, there's – I don't know, 60 Division I players in that district. I mean, so, and we talked about with the Coleman triplets when they committed to Texas, who they go up against and who they play against. Oh, and by the way, y'all can start bringing the comments about the quarterback. He's really good too at Duncanville. They may be a three-peat state champion and send Regil Samples off in the retirement after this year. I'm not saying he's retiring. I just would if I was him and I wanted again. All right, the next receiver up, we're going to talk about, and we're going to get to all your questions. Keep bringing the questions, guys. We have 3,000 people watching this right now live. Jamie French. Jamie French is so interesting to me because when you watch Jamie French, the first thing you got to notice when you watch DeCorian Moore than you watch Jamie French is here's the difference a lot of times between Texas and then the state of Florida public schools. Look at how, because sometimes these Florida guys might not look as fast on tape as some of these other guys. Why is that? Here comes the tape from Jamie French. Look at how many of their games are played on grass. This is the one thing that I've really learned in this business the last decade and a half when I was doing this nationally and I lived in Florida. There's a lot more games. There's some sport turf games. I'm not saying all of them. But these guys play on grass fields more. Every school doesn't have the sport turf fields in the state of Florida. And so that speed can be deceptive with these guys sometimes. Look at that field. Who would look really, really fast on that football field? If you look like a really good athlete and you look really fast on that field, you're fast. I mean, look, just look,
Jerry, at the field. I would look faster than I am right now because everybody else would be much slower, right?
That's not a field that you're going to look fast on a Friday night if you just casually go to the game and watch him. So, you know, look, there's your games at Florida A&M, right? You play games on the sport turf, especially as you go deeper in the playoffs. Mandarin lost in the state championship game last year. They won it, I guess, 2018 when Carson Beck, the Georgia quarterback, was there. But you just look at Jamie French and what he is after seeing him in person. There you see the grass field again that he was playing on. Here's what you see in person with Jamie French is he has a frame that's really just starting to develop. He's got the 78, 79-inch wingspan. He's got 10-inch hands. There again, how would you like to cut on that field all the time? So, look, he has the frame. But he was 6 foot and about 170 pounds a year and a half ago, he said. He's now almost 6'2", and closing in on 180. He has a frame very similar to A.D. Mitchell. He's going to be a guy that carries 200, 205 pounds long-term with that frame. His lower body's ahead of his upper body. Really good release there, right, CJ? That's one of the things I like about French, too, is it's almost like I don't care what he runs in the 40 right now. He has great body control, and he's a really good release guy against press coverage.
Yeah, there are times where you see some of these larger wide receivers maybe not be all that smooth out of cuts. Maybe it takes them some time to get used to the length and how their body quickly grows on them, right? That's something that you see every now and then. To me, it looks like Jamie French has been 6'2 for multiple years, right? He has the understanding of what his body can do, how to manipulate his body and rotate it so that he doesn't get hit. You know, that's one of the things I've noticed here. You know, when he does get contacted and defenders are able to bring him down, very rarely do you see him get very hard despite having a big area to hit. And here's kind of some of that breakaway speed that we mentioned. But I liked that kind of idea of an A.D. Mitchell. Again, A.D. Mitchell to me didn't look like a 4.3 guy at any point during his time at Texas. We knew that he was a talented guy, but 4.33, 4.34, whatever it was, maybe a bit surprising to most people in that fold. I actually like this kind of where was it? Reminds me of Ryan Wingo. What do you think of that? Because, again, similar builds. Ryan Wingo has that elite track speed. I think what you see a little bit here is the acceleration on the side of French, maybe having a bit of a higher tick. But that body control and going up and getting the football, I think Wingo has a little bit more of that in him. Again, not saying French doesn't have that. He's a five-star guy. But Ryan Wingo's whole body control kind of separate late in his routes a little bit later than what we see French do right off the release. I mean, that's just tremendous right there.
By the way, the funniest thing about that comment, if we can bring that back up, Horn 7 went with the capital W, second W in Wingo. If you did that on purpose, that's genius, like Jamie French. That's very funny. Good job there. Yeah, so I think he's got – look, I think he's got that elite body control, right? I mean, I think Ryan Wingo has that elite body control. The one thing that's hard – Ryan Wingo was a 10.55 guy, right, his junior year. That's the thing that makes that tough for me. I think A.D. Mitchell is a comparison right now for me with Jamie French. And I think Jamie French is farther along. I think he's got tremendous hands. I think he catches the way more, maybe more consistently, naturally extended from his body than A.D. Mitchell did at a young age and even through college some. Steve Smith talked about that a little bit in one of the videos he did about A.D. Mitchell prior to the draft. But I think French is such a – he's got such good body control. I think he's going to be a really good double move receiver too. I think that's one of the things that stands out about French. As far as his recruitment, look, I think Texas is heading into June's the favorite, right? I know there's talk about LSU. I still think Tennessee, Miami is going to be the competition, and LSU's in it. I'm not saying they're not. Ohio State, he's going to commit. He told me when I was there he's going to commit in August. I think he's confirmed that this week that he's going to commit mid-late August. We'll see if that date fluctuates any. So I'm going to go visit Ohio State during the season. Colin Simmons didn't end up going back and visiting LSU after he committed. So I think the decision will be made in August, and it'll be a final decision barring something wild. Let's also talk about – and Five Adam is a big fan. Hey, look, I'm keeping this in the memory bank. Look, I like that he's calling a shot. I also like that he said he reminded him of Jerry Jeudy. There's some similar movement skills there with Jerry Jeudy. Good call, Five Adam. I saw Jerry Jeudy, and I'm not going to get into that story, but I while we pull up the Kalik Lockett video. And by the way, 3,000 plus people on here, thank you very much for joining in. CJ Vogel, Jerry Hamilton, we're going to keep having fun here for about 20 more minutes. But I once went to Monarch High School, CJ, in South Florida. And there were three receivers on a field in high school practice, and the grass was about 4 inches high. It was Calvin Ridley, Kevin Ridley, and Jerry Jeudy. And they didn't have anybody that could really throw them the ball at a high level. And I just – that, and I walked away from that field. I remember texting – I was at ESPN at the time, texting Tom Lugabill, Billy Tucker, and Craig Hart, the guys I work with. I said, dude, you wouldn't believe what I just saw. I mean, that's like three NFL receivers – on the practice field in South Florida. And they didn't really have anybody that could get on the ball consistently. Now they ended up transferring over to Deerfield Beach, the Ridleys. Jerry Jeudy did, and Cavan Ridley did, and the rest is history. But in Deerfield had some really good teams. But all three of those guys just going back to back to back in reps in high school, you just were like, wow, okay, this is real talent now.
Jerry,
they're competing against each other for every play, every rep.
You talk about not having any quarterbacks to get them the ball. Why on earth would you want to be a cornerback at that school as well?
They just play wide receiver. They'd rather be fifth in line at wide receiver. That was amazing to see those three future NFL draft picks, two first rounders, taking reps on that field. The grass was high. It just was like kind of what you see in South Florida sometimes. All right, we're going to talk about Kalik Lockett now. And then we're going to get to Kelshon Johnson last. I think these four guys, receivers, are extremely high. And I don't care where Kelshon Johnson's ranked. I think it's too low. But Kalik Lockett out of Sachse High, there at Garland ISD. He has as good a body control, I think, as anybody in the class. He also, CJ, when I was there at Sachse earlier this spring, he has the biggest hands I've ever seen on a 6'1.5", 6'2" receiver, 11-inch hands. I mean, I thought Boban's hand. I thought I was shaking Boban's hand. I was like, this is incredible. And he kind of laughed. I was like, that's the biggest hand I've ever seen on a 6'2" receiver. But you watch Kalik Lockett. He has got tremendous body control. I mean, you can't teach his body control and his balance. I think those are his strengths as a player, as a receiver prospect. And he has a big catch radius, probably 79, 80-inch wingspan. He's not the blazer that's necessarily going to run by people, but what he's going to do is if the ball's in his area code, he's going to come down with it, or he's going to fight as hard as he can to come down with it. And he's got a frame similar to Jamie French. He's just getting started.
Yeah, you hear the term 50-50 ball, and oh, with this guy, it's not really a 50-50 ball. You hear that every now and then with Kalik Lockett. That's absolutely the case, and we've seen it time and time again so far on his film. Again, just having the coordination on that play alone to see that ball be batted up, come down with it, and take it to the crib. To me, Jerry, this is the ultimate throw him outside, and you have a weapon that teams have to shift the safety over to because of his deep playability, his ability to beat one-on-one coverage with his body alone without necessarily needing a specific route combination or anything along the lines of that. That was a good double move as well. Yeah. He's got good speed for his size, but to your point, I shook his hand too right outside the April 6th visit day. And
where did my hand go?
It swallowed it up. It was impressive stuff. And, you know, that's one of the big things. You know, if you're a wide receiver, your job is to get open. It is to catch the football. The larger the hands, the better opportunity that you more likely than not have to bring down a ball. So that's big for me. And again, having watched a little bit of Kalik Lockett and then having seen some teammates tape as well, just to see what it was like with him not as the primary focus, you don't see him necessarily take a whole lot of plays off. You know, he's a guy that gets active after it. When the ball's not going his way, you see him, not really dropping passes, which is huge. And I think Texas last year bit a little bit, maybe later in the year by some drops, but I don't think that's going to be a big problem with a Kalik Lockett.
All right. Well, somebody's saying, what time is the announcement? That's all we were on this live stream initially. James Simon, four-star running back. You're watching Kalik Lockett's highlights here. James Simon, four-star running back out of Shreveport Calvary Baptist, committed to Texas about 12:35, 12:37 p.m. there. Another four-star commitment for the Texas Longhorns recruiting class. Really sets up some good momentum headed into these June official visits. Obviously, a lot of official visitors, a lot of targets of Texas, which we'll have a story on TexasFootball.com tomorrow. A lot of targets for Texas will be officially visiting somewhere this weekend. May 31st, June 2nd is the first, like Georgia, huge weekend. There's some big recruiting weekends. Some people like to get going right out of the gate. Sark, as we know, is a long game guy. He's June 14th, 16th, 21st, 23rd. Texas won't have to start their official visitors till the 7th through 9th. Six guys coming in that weekend, including Dorian Brew, Caleb Chester, Caleb Edwards, the tight end, Josiah Sharma, who we've talked about. So they have a few visitors, the 7th through 9th. But the 14th through 16th, 21st through 23rd is really where this Texas class is going to take shape. Ryan Nelson, let's see. Jamie guarantees that 3 5-star receiver that's better than 10% chance. I think it's better than 10% chance. I don't think it's as high chance as some people want it to be. But I think it's always going to be less likely than more likely until it happens to me. I know it's getting hyped up a lot right now, but look, I had a person tell me if two of these guys commit to Texas, then the third one becomes a little more iffy because somebody could go big on an NIL deal. And it was talking about a specific one. Maybe the circle's like, hey, hold on. Let's tap the brakes on this a little bit. So there's a lot of things that go on other than what's being said publicly, something to remember there. And then there's a fourth receiver that he's visited, Kelshon Johnson. You want to talk about speed, quickness, explosiveness. Kelshon Johnson at Hitchcock will be visiting the 14th through 16th. Obviously, Sarkisian's been through that school in January. Kelshon's been on campus a number of times. You look, he's a guy that similar, and I'm not saying he's like the Corey Moore, but they have similar speed in that if Kelshon trained for track, he'd run 10.3, 10.35. He's that fast of a kid upside-wise. He plays at a smaller school, so he goes from football to basketball, where they've won back-to-back state titles. So when you win state title in Texas basketball, you don't get on the track until mid-March, right? So he doesn't get started in track as much, and he really chose football this year, this spring. He knew how important football was for his future. He actually skipped the regional track meet to make a visit to Texas so his mom, sister could all take in Texas. So again, Chris Jackson was by the school in May. Kelshon Johnson's got USC last weekend in June, Texas the 14th through 16th. Texas A&M's trying to get him on campus the 7th through 9th. Right now he's got Texas Tech, where his quarterback and friend Lloyd Jones is committed. He goes to Arkansas this weekend. So Kelshon Johnson, look, a lot of speed there. There's a Big 12 receivers coach that was by Hitchcock 2 days before I was that said, poor man's, he didn't even say that, kind of reminded him of Xavier Worthy. I'm not saying that. There's a Big 12 receivers coach that said that. That's a tall thing to say on a YouTube channel. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what a Big 12 coach said. But again, big-time athlete, one of the faster kids. He'll go make a play on the ball. Tough kid, small-town kid, Hitchcock in Galveston County. Tough kids. Those are tough kids. Plays multiple sports. Has no idea how good he can be yet. So Texas has four, I think, tremendous options at wide receiver. Marcus Harris from Modern Day, really good player as well. But when you talk about some guys with elite speed, elite athleticism in different ways, then Kelshon Johnson's one of those guys too that's an elite athlete. And he's going to, if he goes to Texas, hey, great for Texas. If he goes to USC, really good for USC too. I mean, this kid, A&M may get him. Another big-time receiver in this class. A lot of depth, a lot of tough choices. Yes, Burn Orange Horn, Kelshon's a Texas lean. We'll see who Sark pushes for coming up.
What stands out to me with Kelshon, Jerry, is, I don't want to call it raw because it's not, and he's an elite track kid. You see the speed, but there's still some movement that can be tightened up, and that ceiling that we're seeing right now in high school – although very, very high already, can go even higher with that fine tuning, right? You know what kind of athlete he is at the moment, and what he could be is something that he doesn't even know could be, a potential untapped at the moment. I think that there's movement that could be cleaned up. That running form, I think, is already pretty solid when you're running, mid 10.5, mid 10.4, whatever it might be. But that football, from a football perspective, the routes can be cleaned up. His breaks can certainly be looked at and kind of touched on a little bit as well, which only raises the ceiling. And again, we're talking about it because we've talked about Kelshon the entire cycle for the most part, right? We know what kind of football player he is. The ratings might not indicate it, but at that same point, when you get 100% into the mode of football and you start working with the trainer every day and you understand what it's like to set up a break to go the other direction and kind of what we see with guys when they work out with Margin Hooks and the Dante Cooks, the Evan Stewarts of the world. Those guys have been doing it for multiple years. I don't think Kelshon Johnson has really even come close to understanding the nuances of route running. This is all just off of athletic ability, and there's a lot of it. But when you get him with a wide receiver specialist or a Chris Jackson or someone in the Texas department and able to fine-tune some of these route running abilities, you're going to see a whole new level that he probably doesn't even know exists at the moment.
And these guys are – this is what's fun about watching four guys back-to-back-to-back-to-back like this. And DeCorian Moore plays on the best team. Keelan Russell, a big-time elite quarterback. DeCorian Moore, you see everything he does. Then you go to Jamie French. Half his games are on grass. Half his games are on sport turf. And really the sport turf games are later in the season, playoffs. So you get to see these guys in different settings, right? Then you see Kalik Lockett. You see that great body control. Maybe, and when you compare him to DeCorian Moore and Jamie French, okay, he's not quite as score touchdown fast, vertical speed, strike up the band fast. Then you get to a kid like Kelshon Johnson, and you say, okay, what's different about him? He plays offense and defense the whole game, so he's probably tired more, right? All these guys are so different in a small town kid, smaller town kid that plays multiple sports that doesn't necessarily train the same way some of the guys in DFW train. And that's what makes this business fun. It's what makes the job of evaluating these guys for the college coaches difficult as well. Kelshon reminds me of a South Florida kid that I've covered for so many years, that he's really raw talented. He has no idea how good he can be. He's not even close to being there. It's not his fault. He plays three sports. He helps Hitchcock win a lot of games, two state basketball championships, right, which they'll celebrate for 40 years in Hitchcock. But it's interesting to watch all these guys back-to-back and kind of see their differences and see where they come from and how that's different as well, because that's us kind of having fun with all 3,500-plus you guys having some fun. It's like we're all sitting together in a coach's office watching film, talking about it. That's where this business is fun. That's where this is fun for all you guys that love recruiting stuff. And by the way, Ryan Nelson, how's Fasusi looking? I think he stays in state at the end of the day, CJ. I think Oklahoma's in it. He's visiting Missouri this weekend. Texas gets the last visit June 21st through 23rd. I think Texas probably slight favorite. A&M's got a lot of pressure on them to have a bang-up offensive line class. We've been talking about it. They're going to push as hard as they can on Fasusi. I think we both have kind of talked about Oklahoma kind of wonders at the end of the day if they'll be that school. I think they may have the same feeling we do. It may come down to two in-state schools at the end of the day. Not saying it can't change.
Yeah, Oklahoma to me, I feel like has lost some steam in this one. I think they were a big player going on early. He made a few trips to Norman. He likes Bill Biedenball. But at that same point, I think Oklahoma might be just a little bit limited in what they can provide, what they might be able to offer. And, of course, where they might be able to have an advantage over Texas and Texas A&M. I don't think that's going to be a case for them to stick in this race very long. I do think this is a recruitment that sticks close to home, Texas A&M, Texas, as there's two schools for me. For Texas, I do think the big thing there is his relationship with Kyle Flood. Of course, he was able to sit down with Kyle Flood for kind of like an in-home, if you will, earlier at Louisville. He was able to sit down with the family as well. I believe Tashard Choice was there as well, maybe Jeff Banks. But the Texas staff brought a lot of key pieces for that recruitment, and they were able to make a big impression on what is the state's top offensive lineman here. What's going to be interesting, Jerry, is what kind of trickle-down effect does this have on a John Turntime, if there is one? But at the moment, right now, I like Texas's chances here. I think A&M is that number two school. I think it is a two-team race at the moment. We'll see, of course, later on if anybody else does get involved. But Oklahoma, for my money's worth, is not going to be a big factor in this race moving on into the official visits.
So, and again, this is what's fun about 3,600 of you guys. And I love everybody coming in. Ricky Stewart reminds me of JJ. I love these comparisons. I love when all you guys bring – y'all's opinions, and this is so much fun I'm having with all you guys. I can't tell you how much fun this is. Now, Michael Fasusi, a guy we watch. Okay, what's different about Fasusi? This is you're watching his junior tape. 3 years playing football. Came to the States when he was 12. Obviously, he grew up playing soccer. He got the football. What did he like about football? He could hit somebody in the mouth, and it's not against the law. I mean, he's not going to get arrested. He's not going to get in trouble. But again, he's a raw football prospect in a lot of ways because he just hasn't played a lot. So what you see with some of these tackles when they're young in the game, and he works with Donald Hawkins, a former Texas NFL offensive lineman who does a great job training offensive linemen in the DFW area. What he's working on with Fasusi and a lot of young offensive linemen, and when they're young, as players do this, they can tend to bend at the waist too much. That's something they're working on. What happens when you bend at the waist? You're toast. You're not going to be balanced. You're going to be launching yourself forward. You're going to be lunging and you're toast. Fasusi's so good, you get away with it at the high school level. But that's one of the things Donald Hawkins is working on him with, is not bending at the waist quite as much. That's something some young offensive linemen that are young and new to the game tend to do, because when you're 6'5", you play against smaller guys. How are you going to get to those guys? You're naturally going to bend at the waist to reach those guys. At the college level, you're dead if you do that. So that's some of the things that you work on with this guy. So as talented and as highly ranked as Fasusi is, he's not even close to where he's going to be in 3 years because he hasn't played that much football. So that's one of the great things about Fasusi that the colleges love. They love his height, 6'5", 302, 80-inch wingspan, 10-inch hands, the aggression he plays with. He works with Donald Hawkins. He wants to be really good. He wants to make football his future to take care of him and his family. But then you say, wow, this guy can get a lot better than what we see now. So that's the great thing about Fasusi, is as talented he is, he's not close to where he can be in 3 or 4 years.
Soccer background, sign me up for a tackle, Jerry. Good footwork, can move, they're mobile, they're agile. And hey, if he wants to hit somebody and stay in the game, football's the right sport. Otherwise, you might be reaching to the pocket for a yellow or a red card.
There you go.
That's really encouraging. And of course, we've seen Kyle Flood have soccer backgrounds for tackles before, and that ended up doing pretty well with Christian Jones just this past year, getting drafted in the fifth round to the Cardinals.
Now what we're going to do is we're going to have some fun. We're going to bring up John Turntime next, the 2026 offensive lineman from North Crowley. He told On Texas Football, as we got about 6, 7, 8 minutes left with you guys, we're going to answer more questions. This is the Longhorn live stream. We were here, CJ Vogel, myself, for the commitment announcement of James Simon, the 4-star running back out of Calvary Baptist who went to Texas. Now we're going to bring up John Turntime. Now this is where, again, this stuff gets fun. What do? We watched 4 receivers in a row who are all really talented guys. Now we've watched the top offensive tackle in the state in the 25 class. And now here's John Turntime, the top 26 offensive tackle in the class from North Crowley. I think Turntime is an absolute stud. I mean, an absolute stud. This is his sophomore tape. This is when he was probably 6'4", 280. You see the 80-inch wingspan. You see that explosiveness off the ball. He's skinny ankles, guys, for a big, tall kid. Watched him work out at North Crowley a few weeks ago. He's up for valedictorian of his class. Super smart guy, probably a pre-med guy. His dad was an all-Mountain West defensive lineman under Gary Patterson at TCU. But what you love about Turntime, look at how he bends. Look at his ankle flexion. Look at the arm length. Look at his body quickness. That's against Colin Simmons, by the way. They got smoked because Duncanville has what, Ekim? 35, 40 Division I players and a bunch of future NFL players. But you just look at Turntime. You can't coach that initial quickness, that reactive quickness, that body quickness. Some of the things Laramie Tunzel. This is how Laramie Tunzel looked to me when I was part of ESPN Under Armour way back in the day at camps. I mean, this is what Tunzel looked like as a young player. And I'm not saying Turntime will end up being that good. These kids have to go do it. But John Turntime is a stud. Christopher Weatherford's asking, does he have interest in Texas? Absolutely. He'll be at Texas Elite Camp Saturday, June 1st. That'll be his third trip to Texas since being offered. So John Turntime, one of the best 2026 prospects in the country. Hey, Matt, producer Matthew, I want to do something special here for everybody before we get out of here. Can you find Jackson Cantwell's sophomore video? He's at Nixa, Missouri. Yeah, he's the top 20. He's one of the top 26 linemen in the country. Him and John Turntime, I think, are going to be the top 2 offensive tackles in the country. I want to bring this up because Texas is showing some interest in Jackson Cantwell. And if this is the first time you've seen this guy, he's a bad dude. That's all I'm going to say. CJ, I don't know if you've watched him yet. Well, if this, I hope it's your first look so I can see how you react to this. But yes, Burn Orangehorn, Texas was on Turntime very early. Oklahoma was first to that party. Texas got there pretty quick. All right, this is Jackson Cantwell, okay? You want to talk about a bad dude playing offensive line? This is a sophomore up in Missouri. And what's so high-end about Jackson Cantwell, both of his parents were Olympian shot putters. I mean, that's just wrong. You could get arrested for that right there. But he threw the shot put 74-9 3 weeks ago. 6'7", 300 pounds. He's thrown the discus up to 195 this year as a sophomore. This is absolutely true, by the way. Matthew's the best producer going. But look at this guy, Jackson Cantwell. CJ, I know you've exchanged messages with him. He's talking about getting to Texas in June. His father went to Missouri. We'll see how much of a realistic shot it is. But this guy's a big-time guy playing offensive line at a young age that may break national records in the shot put in high school. Michael Carter's had that record a long time. But when you hit 75 feet essentially as a sophomore, you're going to have a chance.
Yeah, he told me he does not yet have anything planned to get down to Texas, but that he would love to come see the campus, come meet with Coach Flood. Of course, when you're a top five national prospect at the moment, you're going to have every coach in the country wanting you to come visit. But he did mention Texas as a school that he would like to get down to at some point this summer. And I think Texas, despite using those last weekends in the month of June to be focused on official visitors, they would absolutely take a visit from Jackson Cantwell should he be looking to come check out the campus. The bend, Jerry, at 6'8", 6'7", you can't teach that. You either have it or you don't. And to move that well is pretty impressive at this age already. Again, this is a guy, he's got multiple years of development still before you see his entire, ceiling. The athleticism is just tremendous. The bend, he's got some feistiness in him, Jerry, too.
No, he does. He has no choice, right? I think with the parents both being Olympians. The mom threw the shot at SMU, coached at Missouri for a little while. Father, obviously, threw the shot at Missouri, was in the Olympics. I think he was a bronze medalist. But to throw the shot 74-9 and the discus 195 as a sophomore, that's like next level explosiveness at 6'7", 300 pounds. You don't see that very often. So this guy, there he is playing on Missouri's field. If I'm Eli Drinkwitz, I make him play all their games there. But Nixie, where he's from is closer to Branson than anywhere. For those,
Jared, we just saw a 45-yard chase down tackle from a kid that's 6'8".
Yep.
That's remarkable.
Now he's big time. He's big time. Again, we have 3,700 plus people on this live stream. We're going to shut it down here in a couple of minutes, guys. But we've been sitting here listening to this idiot and that smart guy, CJ Vogel. We talked about James Simon, 4-star running back commit to the University of Texas from Shreveport Calvary Baptist. We've had some fun watching all the some of those top receivers in the country in 2025 are top targets for Texas. Just watch some offensive line guys back to back. That's kind of what makes this fun for me. We like to bring that to you guys sometime is when you turn on the huddle, you watch one guy, hey, he's a pretty good player. All right, you turn on the huddle and watch 4 top-ranked receivers in a row, you can start to differentiate their strength and their weaknesses. Hey, this guy plays on more grass than the other guy does. This guy may be a little quicker initially than the other guy is. Then we watch the offensive lineman, the same John Turntine, absolute stud. Michael Fasusi, great kid, huge high ceiling for him. CJ, anything in closing for you on Wednesday? Obviously, we got Longhorn live stream tonight as well. But anything closing for you on James Simon and kind of what's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think Texas is starting that run that we've seen over the last few years in terms of what's to come in the months of June. We've seen it time and time again, whether it be Arch Manning committing June 16th, June 19th, and then seeing a slew of recruits come in. I think the last two cycles, I forget which was which, but there's been 13 and then 11 commitments ranging from the beginning of June to about the middle of July. And I think you'll start to see that again, maybe a little bit earlier this year. Of course, you talk about Jackson Christian, the Coleman brothers, and now James Simon here. There's 4 or 5 guys already in the fold. If you continue that on into the month of June, you could very well see that number reach to about, 12, 13, 14 before 4th of July and before the end of before the beginning of August, even. This class should be doubled in numbers by now. I think they're sitting at 9 commitments at the moment. 20 is not all the way out of reach. But, again, just kind of getting an idea of what this class and what this staff likes to do, besides dancing, obviously. But they like getting this class filled out early. That way they can go into the football season and really just be focused on the ball at play, have this class locked up. And I think that they're going to be right in another position to do just that later on as this official visit season gets going. And boy, am I excited for it.
Yeah. And by the way, that coach choice video is that's what happens when you wrap up recruiting and like before June visits every year, right? I mean, you have so much fun on Twitter, but coach choice, he's 6 of 7 and he's targeted running back in the last 3 classes. So congrats to Tashard Choice once again. It's hard to get 2 running backs in a class every year. Eventually, somebody's going to say, hold on now. These guys are losing more than you're losing. So it's hard to go 6 of 7. So that's a pretty high hit rate at one position. I don't care how few guys you recruit. Great, great relationship builder with parents as much as kids. And I think that was huge in James Simon's recruitment, but that relationship with the mom. And then with the father, John Simon, who was a former Louisiana Tech running back, briefly in the NFL and a college coach for over a decade. My closing thought is this. June 1st, Elite Camp, CJ, you hit on it. Diabel flies in from Fort Lauderdale. He's at American Heritage, one of the 226 offers. He flies in Friday night with Raja Bell, his father, sounds familiar, former NBA player, his mother, siblings. Troy Hoon comes in Friday morning. He leaves California Friday morning. His mom's making the trip with him. Both these guys converging on Austin from the West Coast and the East Coast. They kind of competed out a little bit Saturday at the Elite Camp. Then there's other quarterbacks that are going to be there. Those are the 2 offers. Jaden O'Neal from Narbonne in California. Grant Smith from Grand Oaks and the new school up in the Spring area. Very talented kid. Jake Fett from El Paso, Live Arm. Both those guys have Power 5 offers from in the state of Texas. So there's going to be some high-level throwers and passers at the Texas Elite Camp June 1st. I don't think it'll be much longer after June 1st till we get the answer on who the 26th quarterback is going to be in this class. I'm going to leave people with that. I think it's going to be fun to follow. The quarterback talent is going to be extremely elite on campus for the Elite Camp, as it should be. And why is that important? KJ Lacy committed Elite Camp a year ago. On June 3rd, I believe that date was last year. So for CJ Vogel, I'm Jerry Hamilton. Producer Matt's always the best. Thank you for the almost 3,800 people that were on here at various times. Thanks for your continued support. I think we're at 48,400 subscribers. We're not far from 50. We'll see 50K in June. We'll see 100K in about a year.
All righty. Y'all have a good one. I appreciate y'all tuning in.